I thought maybe somebody made you sit in the corner and your sentence was up. Well, some of you have said you enjoy stories from the Old Testament, so we're going to continue. And those of you who grew up in the church are going, oh no, not David and Bathsheba. I don't want to hear that story about David staying back from war and seeing Bathsheba bathing on the housetop next and committing adultery with her and getting her pregnant and having her husband Uriah the Hittite killed in battle to cover it up and then the son killed by the Lord and then the house of David never being at peace again after that. I don't want to hear that story.
I guess we're done.
Oh, I forgot. I had to turn it on. Part two. Now, did you notice how I told you the story anyway?
Yes.
You guys don't commit adultery. You women don't commit adultery. It's bad. Okay, let's move on. All right. This is David and Bathsheba, part two. And I'll give you a hint. There could be a part three. But where's Kyle? Well, Carveth is here. You know, these Star Wars fans can't count. Okay? And they get all the Star Wars sequels misnumbered. So if I can come up with the proper numbering, we might have a part three later on. But I guess we'll call it part one and renumber everything else afterwards. So this could be part three. That's y'all, inside joke. Okay, let's go. 1 Kings chapter 1. Now King David was old, and let's go here. At the end of part one, it ends this way. Then David, you remember the son died, okay? Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and went in her and lay into her and lay with her, and she bore a son, and they called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him, that's Solomon, and sent a message by Nathan the prophet, so he called his name Jedidiah, which means loved of the Lord, because of the Lord. And our story is about this relationship of the Lord with Solomon and Bathsheba and David. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 1. Now King David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. Therefore his servant said to him, let a young woman be sought for my lord the king, and let her wait on the king and be in his service. Let her lie in your arms, that my lord may be warm. So they sought a beautiful young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the young woman was very beautiful, and she was of service to the king and attended to him, but the king knew her not. This kind of sets the tone of the story. This is the end of David's life. He's an old man. He's lost his vigor. He's lost his leadership. He can't even keep himself warm, so they have to get a young handmaiden to sleep next to him to keep him warm. And by the way, for those of you who are interested in the name Abishag, Robert Frost wrote a poem about her. It's called Provide, Provide, and it's one of his few really funny poems. So I recommend you might want to read it. It might tell you something about it. I'll just say to Robert Frost, Abishag was a symbol of Hollywood stars. So anyway, I'll just leave you with that. I was going to put it up, but it really didn't fit. Okay, so it's the end of David's life, and he's got Abishag, and you can imagine he's kind of, if not bedfast, at least he's stuck in his house and probably doesn't know what's going on in his kingdom. Now, you'll also remember that he had sons, okay? And we don't know how many sons he had. We don't even know how many wives he had. But he had four, what we would call generally the older sons, the oldest sons. And after the first sin with Bathsheba, they caused him all kinds of problems, okay? First, his oldest was Amnon, and you'll remember that he raped Absalom's sister, Amnon's half-sister, and Absalom had him killed. Okay, you talk about sibling rivalry. That's some sibling rivalry, isn't it? So he's dead. Okay? Absalom was the next oldest, and he revolts against his father. He's going to kill him. David has to flee Jerusalem, has to go across the Jordan. Okay, and only through stratagem, and I think what we would call Absalom's egotism, is he able to defeat him in battle. And finally, Absalom, remember he had the long hair, gets his hair caught up in the tree, and Joab, David's general, comes along and kills him, even though David had said not to kill him. That kind of repeats, comes into this story, and you'll remember David's wail over his son who had been trying to kill him. Oh, Absalom, Absalom. My son, would that I could have died instead of you. And then we get Adonijah, who's the subject of our story today. He's the oldest now. Amnon and Absalom are dead. And this is the story of Absalom trying to take over the kingship. And it's politics. It's a good story. There's a little King Lear in this story. There's a little Esther in this story. And we don't read this story a lot, but there's also a good bit of Bathsheba. Okay, so here's what happens. Oh, and Bathsheba's had another son after the one died named Solomon. And all indications are that David has promised Solomon that he will be king. Okay. And if we read over the story of the transition in 1 Chronicles, David repeatedly says that the Lord has chosen Solomon. And if you read the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, it comes through Solomon. Okay, so this is kind of what's going on. Adonijah, David is old. David's out of it, we would kind of say. And he says to himself, you know, David wasn't Saul's son. We haven't had a peaceful transition from kings to king in the normal way, and I'm the oldest son, and David's kind of out of it, and I've got brothers. Okay, the most dangerous thing in the ancient world was to be brother of somebody who was made king. Okay, because they didn't want you around. Suleiman the Magnificent, the Ottoman emperor, had a fine and lavish lunch with his stepmother, while at the same time all her children were being killed so that they couldn't be rivals to him. That's kind of the way things went, okay, back in the old world, okay. So we're not so bad, okay. We're not so bad. We may, you know, get rid of our rulers and eat our young, but we're not as bad as they were. So, all right. So Adonijah says, I want to be king, okay. And so he gets the people who are attracted to him from David's retinue, from his helpers, from his allies, okay? And here's kind of who we're talking about, okay? He gets Joab, the David's general. He gets Abiathar, the high priest, and he gets others to come with him, and they go have a big feast. A feast is which is full of meaning, regal meaning, that I am king. He goes to a brook outside of Jerusalem, which probably had significance, and he does the things which declares himself king. Okay, he says, I want to be king. He says right there. Now, before we go on, we got to remember that Joab fought battle after battle for David. Okay? But David never forgave Joab for two things, killing Abner and Amasa. Joab was a mean, vindictive person. And David used him when he needed to him, i.e. to have Uriah the Hittite killed, Bathsheba's first husband, but he never forgave him for murdering, okay? My guess is he never forgave him for murdering, or for killing Absalom. Am I too loud? Okay. But Abiathar was the high priest, and he and Zadok, okay, were the priests, and you'll remember in the story of Absalom, when David flees Jerusalem, he tells Abiathar and Zadok, no, you stay back and act like you're on Absalom's side. Now, that's dangerous business. Okay, that's being a spy, and find out what he's doing and let me know. And it was really because of those two that he won the battle. Zadok is the priest. If we draw a line here, I'm sorry. All right, if you could go and take me back to that slide, I think I've overloaded it. Anyway, if he has some of these men go with Adonijah. Okay. Now Joab had a good reason. Okay, because David will tell Solomon later, when you become king, kill him. Okay, and he'll do it. Okay. Abiathar seems to have just been attracted to Adonijah, and remember, Adonijah is the old one, the oldest son. Now, at this time, there is no rule like came in medieval times that the oldest son inherits, okay, becomes the king afterwards. You know, Prince Charles will become king after Queen Elizabeth dies, unless they make a new rule, okay? His brothers aren't in the line as long as he is alive. But Adonijah seems to have liked this rule, okay? Okay, and so he gets these to go with him. But evidently David has promised the kingship to Solomon, which is a different way of lineage, i.e. through the will or the expressed will of the king. He decides who succeeds him. In the Chinese Empire, they did that up until the emperors were abolished in the 20th century, the Sun Yat-sen. They decided that it was done through a will. It was done this way in Rome. So this is not unheard of, and this has not been settled because we've never had a king of Israel pass on his kingship through his family. Okay, Saul and Jonathan were both killed together. Okay, so Adonijah goes and he gets his allies and they have a great big feast, and it says he did not invite Solomon. He invited all the other sons but not Solomon, which to a person who is able to read the tea leaves, so to speak, tells you something. Okay, tells you probably that he knew Solomon was David's pick. Okay, let's see, we've done that, haven't we? I'm not doing well here. One, two, three. Okay. So Adonijah has Joab and Abiathar the high priest. Solomon has Zadok and Nathan the prophet. Now, you remember Nathan the prophet. He's this prophet who comes and goes, and he's the one with David and Bathsheba, part one, who comes to David and uses that interesting story to accuse him. You remember the story of the rich man who had a lot of flocks, and he took the one little lamb of the poor man and fed his guests with it. You know, and David says, the man should be killed, and he says, it is you. You had plenty of wives, and you stole another man's wife. That's this man. Okay. So that, and then Bathsheba. Now, we can guess a little bit why Zadok and Nathan went with Solomon. Okay, they did. But we know why Bathsheba went with Solomon. She's his mommy. Okay, she's his mother. You who are mothers out there, understand. Admit it. You root harder for your son to hit a home run than for anyone else's son. Now, don't you? Come on. And when they hit that fly ball to him out there in right field, you go, oh, please catch it. Please don't drop it. I played right field. And you know why I played right field? Because we only had nine guys, and that's where you put the worst guy, was in right field. You know? And my worst fear was that somebody would hit me a fly ball. Tommy Reagan, the guy down the street, played shortstop, and he just couldn't wait for him to hit it to him. That's what mothers do, don't they? They root for their sons. But this is more important than that. This is more important than that. This is a life or death matter. Okay. So, they're not far out of Jerusalem. A couple of three stone throws maybe, you know. Half mile, mile, something like that. They're out of Jerusalem. And Zadok sees what's happening. Okay, and Nathan sees what's happening, and Nathan comes to Bathsheba. And he says, do you know what's happening? Okay, well, whether she knew about it or not, she knows about it now, and she realizes immediately that if Adonijah becomes king, my son is going to become expendable. In fact, he's not going to be only expendable, he's going to be a threat. Okay, and I'm his mother, and we're all in trouble here. Okay, so that's kind of what's going on in this story. Okay, so it comes up with this plan. It says, Bathsheba, David doesn't know what's happening. Okay, you husbands, there's a lesson in here for you somehow. Know what's going on in your own family. Okay, it says that David never confronted Adonijah for all the stuff that he did. Okay? David, as near as we can tell, was an absentee father. Or at least he spoiled him badly. Never would do what he needed to do as a father. Isn't it interesting how many great characters in the Old Testament, men of God, weren't very good fathers? Okay. We can think of Eli. We can think of Samuel. Okay. So Bathsheba is the one that's got to take care of this situation. So they say, look, you go to David and you tell him about it. Now this sounds a little bit like the story of Esther, doesn't it? And I don't know how serious a thing it was for Bathsheba to walk in to David, but he was with Abishag when she does it. Okay, so I guess there wasn't the threat of death like there was in the story of Esther, but this was a big thing for her to come in and tell David. And she comes in, and Nathan says, and here's what we'll do. Now, this is kind of the interesting part, okay. You go in and talk to him like you're telling him, and I'll just show up, okay? I'll just kind of stumble in and, you know, like we're not together, and we'll hit him with the old 1-2 punch, Bathsheba and Nathan. And that's what they do. And she's starting to tell him about that, and then Nathan shows up, and evidently she left while Nathan was there, and he says the same thing and explains to him all these things that Adonijah is doing. And they don't have as much a meaning to us as they did to him, but they all mean one thing. This is the way you assume kingship. Okay? They didn't have Westminster Abbey and, you know, all the coronation and all this kind of stuff, but these were the things that meant something to those people. Locations, killing the calf, sacrificing, doing all those things meant something to the people. And the idea is, if Adonijah can get up and start doing kingly things and get a whole bunch of people on his side, he'll just be king by fiat. Okay? People will just accept it. Okay. And they go into David and they tell him about it. Okay. And then he calls for Bathsheba. This is an interesting part of it. Okay. She evidently leaves, and after they've warned him, verse 28 of chapter 1 in 1 Kings says, "Then David answered, 'Call Bathsheba to me.'" We don't know how long it'd been, how often he saw her. In his old age, my guess is not very often at all. "And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king, and the king swore, 'As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity.'" Go back and read the Psalms, and you see this over and over. "As I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, 'Solomon your son shall reign after me, he shall sit on my throne in my place, even so will I do today.'" All of a sudden, it's David and Bathsheba, not David and Abishag. David's got some gumption. He's got some get up and go. It's the old David has come back. Okay? And I am not going to try to explain why it took a gal to do this, but it did. Okay? And David now is taking charge of events and evidently for the first time is going to confront in a certain way Adonijah, his son, who he's let do anything he wants. Okay. It's kind of the story, isn't it? Okay. And David begins to take control of the situation. And this is his thing. He says, "Go get Solomon." Now, and we're going to do things with Solomon which indicate that he is king. We're going to do it in places and in a way that everybody knows it, but we're going to do it bigger and louder and closer to Jerusalem. So they go get Solomon. They put him on David's mule. You know, to us, riding a mule is not like riding a horse. It's kind of a, you know, you're not poor enough to have a horse. Evidently, back then, a mule was a big thing. It was a sign of status. And to be on the king's mule said something. Now, before we go forward, we need to realize what David is doing. Okay? And you men, this tells you something what a woman can talk you into. Okay? He's setting up his son as king before he is dead. Sounds a little bit like King Lear. Do you all read King Lear? Although that was with daughters. That's much more dangerous to do it with daughters than sons. But anyway, so he's taking a big step. He's taking a big chance, and he must have known something about Bathsheba and something about Solomon, which made him not fear this situation. He must also have seen something definitely in Bathsheba and absolutely in Solomon, which said it is worth taking this chance, and I cannot let Adonijah be king. It needs to be Solomon. Now let's take a little aside here. You'll remember that David had always wanted to build a temple for the Lord. Okay? In fact, he got all the stuff that Solomon will later use to build the temple. He amassed, you know, the cedars and the gold and the bronze and everything. But the Lord told him, he says, you can't do it. And the reason you can't do it is you've got too much blood on your hands. David was a bloody man. He killed a lot of people. Okay, he killed a lot of people. And the Lord did not want that kind of a man building his temple. Who did the Lord want? The opposite of that, Solomon, the wisest man. The man with no blood on his hands. We might call him the peaceful man, not the man of war. A man caught up in a warlike situation, and really, if you read the story, plays no part in it because of his mother, Bathsheba. Okay, this is what they wanted. So he says, you go get in, and we will declare and yell out that Solomon is the king, and I will do the things which will tell the people that I have accepted Solomon the king. We'll go through the rituals. We'll actually anoint him. Okay? And we will nip this coup d'etat in the bud. Maybe coup d'etat is not the right word, but that's kind of what was going on. And the interesting thing is, you know, this all happens in a very narrow area. Because they do this, they go out on another spot on the Brook of Kidron and do this, and all the people are encouraged to come up and yell and to praise and to declare Solomon the king, and Adonijah's having his party, and he thinks it's the biggest party going, okay? And he's got all his people, and all of a sudden somebody hears, what's all that yelling? What's all that sound? And someone shows up and tells them what's happening, and that David has declared Solomon the king. And they realized that they failed. Okay? Joab probably said to himself, I'm a dead man. Okay? Abiathar probably said to himself, well, I'm in big trouble. You know, you backed the wrong guy in politics back then. It was tough on you. Okay? But Adonijah realizes that he's in bigger trouble than all of them. And he goes, and he goes to the horns of the altar, and he lays himself on the altar, figuring that he cannot be killed there. Okay? And Solomon spares his life for a while, but that's part three. Okay? All right. And so the kingship is secured. The revolution or the rebellion is put down. People have done things for David that he was not able or willing to do for himself at a time. And the lineage of David, which was forecast, which was prophesied, I mean, to extend forever, will continue through Solomon. Okay? Through Solomon. And Bathsheba wins. Okay? She wins. All right. So what do we get from this story? One, why Bathsheba? Why, or not one, but then what do we get from the story? And we ask ourselves, why did they need Bathsheba? Was she just a pawn with Nathan and Zadok? You could read that story that way, but I don't think so. Okay? I don't think so. Bathsheba is an integral part of this story. And by the way, I need to tell you, you know, I had the Mother's Day sermon. John wouldn't take it, so I had to do it. And I almost did this as a Mother's Day, but it was just a little too political. Okay, but anyway, why Bathsheba? Why did we need this woman? I guess she's about 50 years old by now. This seems to have taken place about 20 or 30 years after her tryst with David. Okay, well, one, mothers protect their children. Okay. I do not want to make any of the husbands and fathers mad in this thing. Do you have the Father's Day sermon? Okay, good. Well, I'm going to ruin it for you right now. Male lions kill their cubs. Okay? Male kings are pretty hard on their children. Certainly hard on their brothers. Okay? David was hard on his children by his neglect. He raised a bunch of lousy ones. I don't think we find a family in the Bible with as many lousy children as David's. Okay? But mothers protect their children. There's just something about that. It is the mother owl who will fake a broken wing to try to lead a coyote or a fox away from her nest. Where's Daddy Owl? Haven't seen him since the gestation period. Okay, all right. Mothers protect their children. Okay. That's not saying fathers don't, but we all know what I'm talking about. Number two, and this is kind of an interesting one, affection remains after physical love has withered. She's the one whom David will trust. She's the one whom David loved. She's the one whom David went through tragedy with and for. And it is clear from this story that David's willing to listen to her and he cares about her. And even though Abishag is there, she seems to be in the room the whole time, okay, there is something of their relationship which has grown into affection and trust and, I don't know what to say, eternal connection, I guess would be what I was saying, okay. And that is a great and beautiful thing, is it not? That is a great and beautiful thing. And finally, and then the story is yours. Women often have to clean up the mess that men have made. Okay. All right, that's what that said. Of all the sons of David that we know anything about, Solomon is the only one that turned out okay. You covered me there. All the, yeah, caused by men. There it is. He's the only one. Okay? And we have to ask ourselves, what's the difference between Amnon and Adonijah and Absalom and Solomon? And the only difference I can come up with, because I doubt that David was any stricter on Solomon than he was on any others, is his mother. And so this young girl who committed adultery, I think it's clear from the story, she probably didn't have a choice. Okay, committed adultery, lost her first child because of it. Okay, by her character, by her bravery, by her commitment to her son, and by reference to that, the commitment to the Lord's plan, maybe she knew that was it or not, she seems to have known something, was able to come up with a good child, the most expansive king in Israel's history, the builder of the temple, and the great wisdom, prophet, and writer. Okay. And so there's something to be said about women here, isn't there? Okay. There's something to be said about men and about women. And in this story, I hate to say this, guys, but the women just come out a little bit better, or at least the woman. Okay, so there's the story for you. It's a story of Bathsheba. Maybe someday we'll have Bathsheba part four, part two, part three. Don't know how to number it. But we forget about her. We only think of the beginning. We don't think about what she did later.
Let's stand as we sing.